Good morning, folks. Good to see you today. Let's take your Bible, if you will. You can get a jump on where we're headed. We're going to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We've been looking at the last 3 weeks at a particular something may have gotten lost in the translation. I want to put it back into focus here this morning, because what we look at today is really a continuation of the last three messages. What did we look at last week? We looked at... Had some say the wife. What did we look at the week before? And the week before that? Love. Those are the themes that you walked away from it, but what I want us to understand is that there's an overarching theme for all three of those. And the overarching theme for the three of those messages is God's purpose. God's purpose and plan to build His kingdom. Building His kingdom is of vital importance to Him. And there's a lot of detail as to how that actually lines up. And it must line up. We must line up and have proper alignment if we're going to be used the way that He wants us used. Mankind, alignment under God, the family unit, the very foundational thing that He instituted in order to propagate, in order to promote His purpose, His plan for mankind on this earth. The good old U.S. of A. is sick. It's in trouble. And just getting somebody new to ride around in Air Force One isn't going to be the answer. And you can like or love or hate or whatever the one that's in there. Just getting a new one to ride around on that plane is not going to fix what's wrong with America. Politics is not unimportant. Now, the Bible doesn't skirt politics. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about it. It's the Word of God is full of laws and statutes and ordinances, those things that make up the planks of human government. Law, statutes, ordinances, God setting up kings and God taking down kings. Politics is all over the Bible. But politics doesn't stand alone. There's a spiritual underpinning for politics as there is for everything on God's green earth. Psalm 22:28 says that God rules over the nations. Psalm 33:10 says God nullifies the counsel of the nations. Psalm 103:19 says that God rules everything, everywhere, over everyone. God rules. For our part, and God has given us the faculties to make decisions and choices, for our part, we either respect it, the rule of God, or we reject it. And those are the two camps that folks fall in. Man is given the choice to respect or reject the rule of God. Given the choice of aligning under it or out from under it, as the case may be. Man gets to choose that. He does not get to choose, however, the consequences of that decision. This is where God rules. God rules in either endorsing the choice, your choice, to align under Him, and in endorsing that choice, there is blessing that accrues. There is a judging when you reject the rule of God. And Scripture calls that cursing. This world is operating, whether you recognize it or not, this world is operating under a theocracy. Worldwide, God rules. You either respect that or reject it. And the consequences come to you as a result of which of the choices that you make. So we are already operating under a one-world government. No need to move towards that with any other haste and speed. Now, why do I say that America is in trouble? The obvious reason that I say America is in trouble, and the reason for that, is that as a nation we are endorsing evil. It's one thing to do evil personally and see the consequences personally of evil present in our life. It's another thing, on a quite different level, to legislatively endorse evil as a society. When government legalizes evil, when government permits evil, okays evil, and even encourages evil to take place, that means the government has come out from under, rejected the rule of God. And the further a government moves out of alignment with God, the further it removes itself from its covering. We've talked about headship and covering over the last 3 weeks, of being properly aligned so that there is a covering over the institution of the family. To be properly aligned is to respect the rule of God. To be improperly aligned is to reject the rule of God. Illustration, if I can this morning. Jim, do me a favor and head this way. Brother Larry, can you come and help me here for just a moment? Both of you gentlemen, stand over here on the top step for just a minute. It would be helpful. Let me get you and Claudette. Don't worry, kids, you're next. You can come right behind them. Now stay on the floor here for just a minute. Come here, little ones.
That's why you don't sit close to the
front. Or in the very back.
I was in the very back. You got me, so yeah.
You're going to have to use your imagination a lot here on this top step. Okay? Lots of imagination required here. Don't look at what we got. Think about what this is representing for just a moment.
I think he's talking bad
about it. And unfortunately, I am. Alignment. God the Father and Jesus Christ are equal. Equal. Jesus Christ said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in me." He says that he thought it not robbery to be made equal with God. He goes on to say that he humbled himself in obedience under God the Father. Come step down here for just a moment. So we have two entities that are dead equal, God the Father, God the Son. But God the Son aligned himself under God the Father and said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He aligned himself perfectly with God the Father. There's an alignment that is necessary. And what happens here is, see, that God the Father covers. He's the covering. He's the covering. In proper alignment, the covering's in place. Headship is in place. Now, Jesus Christ did a work for all of mankind. The work that Jesus Christ did was that he died on the cross of Calvary in order to make it possible for sinful creatures like you and I to come under his headship, to come under his covering, to line up in this theocracy, in this grand plan of God that he has on this planet for mankind. You see, he created man. And when he created man, he gave him authority. He gave that man, and we've talked about this ad nauseum for the last few weeks, and it's on the back page of your bulletin again today. This headship and this alignment and what God gave man in authority to rule this earth, to subdue it and rule it, as long as he would be in alignment with God the Father and God the Son. And so he made provision. And those that will bow the knee and come to him by faith, those that will come to him, he will in no wise cast out. He'll save that soul that'll come to him. And so what his design is here, you see, is for a man to bow the knee and to come into right relationship with Christ, who is in alignment with God the Father at all times. And God the Father providing headship and covering, and Christ providing headship and covering for the man. You see. Now this doesn't just happen. This takes place at the moment of salvation, where a man respects the rule of God. No longer is a rejecter of the things of God, but is a respecter of God. And comes and submits himself. Decides. Submits himself to the rule of God and the authority that is placed therein. Perfectly aligned. Now he's ready to subdue the world. Now he's ready to govern. Now he's ready to provide. He's ready to be all that he can be here in this alignment. And only in this alignment. It's not just for men, it's for women. Women come into right relationship. That right relationship that this woman has to come into is the right relationship with Christ. And so there must be an embracing of Christ to begin with. That embracing of Christ to begin with. And then this union takes place. This marriage takes place that forms a family. You see. And the only way it can be aligned properly, put in its proper place, in its proper way, in its proper alignment, is for one believing man and one believing woman to come together in the alignment that we have here. And this picture, God the Father provides headship over for Christ. Christ provides headship for the man. And the man provides a covering or a headship for the woman. What happens here is that these two stand equal here at the beginning. They stand equal with relationship to Christ. And then this woman, this person of the Trinity, humbles herself in positional authority in the family. Dead equal on the same step, but now she's humbled herself to the one that has headship and covering over her. Perfect alignment again. Perfect alignment in order that they might rule and reign on this earth. Well, they have kiddos. That's what Scripture says to do, by the way. Replenish the earth. That we might rule after our kind. That we might populate and reproduce and replicate this alignment through children who will form a new unit, and propagate the whole idea of this likeness and this image of God ruling on this earth. Everybody with me? And so they have kids. And what happens to start with is that these kids are in alignment early on. Until they come to the place where they understand what their sin has done. That their sin has separated them from a holy and righteous God. They don't remain in that alignment long because the sin nature kicks in and they begin to recognize that they are lost, that they have needs, and that Christ is the only answer for them. And at that particular point, each one has a decision to make. And good families that are aligned properly, that are teaching properly, and that are having this headship and this covering, this alignment work out perfectly the way that it should be, and they're teaching and tutoring and showing and disciplining and discipling those youngsters, at some point they recognize their very need. Step up one more. Step up two. Turn around and look to the Jesus figure. They turn and they look to the Jesus figure and they humble themselves under His mighty hand. Get gloriously saved. Mom and Dad rejoice. They're perfectly aligned. Their teaching, their discipling, their disciplining has paid off in that their youngsters are now covered. They are under and in alignment, which now places them in perfect position right in front in the alignment here. And here we have the family perfectly aligned, all pulling in the same direction, all understanding their purpose, and that purpose is the plan of God to be worked out on this earth and that they have authority to rule and to reign on this planet, you see. Then at some point, these two youngsters grow up. That mind of their own, and they move away from mom and dad. You see, yeah, it's sad. They're on their own, and they're out. And while they're out here, there's still a covering. There's still a covering that's taking place here, even though the distance may be a little distance between them here. Because perfectly aligned, these folks here still have responsibility until a new unit is formed. Now, these have decisions to make. They have decisions to make about how they're going to replicate, how they are going to produce after their kind, and who this is going to work out with. And they've been taught, that you don't marry an unbeliever. Because it breaks the alignment. It breaks that alignment. Bring heartache into your life. And so, God then puts them together with individuals that He has marked out for them. Let me start a new unit. Come here.
Sorry,
Emma. Yeah. We just arranged one. Here today. Dowry be 10 cows. And we'll move from there. Okay. And so, overlook their size. Step up. Up. Come. Right in front of him there. And here we have the same situation again. Replicating what has already been here before us with headship and covering taking place all the way down the line. Now, when this takes, this is God's plan. This is God's plan throughout the earth. Okay? Now, when a nation is built from this alignment, that nation is a nation under God. Huh? But what we have today is we have many that are in alignment, in our nation. But we have many, 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 many more that aren't. Stand and represent the nation this morning. What we have today are a nation of people that are not in alignment. They're not in alignment, and therefore letting society dictate where things go. Now, this unit, functioning properly, has a great deal of influence in the nation and should have a great deal of influence in the nation. I would suspect if we went down through right here, they know everybody in the room, are very close to everybody in the room. And when you know people, you ought to have an influence in their life. There ought to be an opportunity for influence in the life of everyone that we know. Right? And so, a nation that is disconnected from the alignment is a nation that has rejected God. How do we know when a nation rejects God? I just told you. When the nation begins to legislate evil that is not in alignment with God the Father, God the Son, and the unit that He put together. And this is where we find ourselves today. Y'all have been marvelous. And I thank you so much. You can have a seat. The USA is rejecting the rule of God, and it is removing itself from the covering, the blessing that comes with the alignment. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here we go. Verse 1, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel." This was a theocracy. God at the helm of this nation. One thing we have to understand here, that when we're looking in the Old Testament here, we are not we are looking at applying principles. There are principles that we have all over this passage here that relate to today. Parts and names and figures are not interchangeable, but applications are. And so we apply this. We can apply this to our lives today. The theocracy. Samuel was the priest of the nation. He has appointed his sons judges over the nations, over the nation. But there's a problem. Verse 3. His sons walked not in his ways. They were not properly aligned. They were not aligned as a family should be aligned. The blood was there, but the alignment wasn't. They walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, filthy money, and took bribes and perverted judgment, it says. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." The people came to Samuel and appealed to him for a king to rule over them, like everybody else has. Why? Because his family was shot. And succession was looking like it was going to be big trouble. Here's the first takeaway that we can take from this passage. The breakdown of the family leads to an appeal to the government. The breakdown of the family leads to appeals to the nation, to the government. Samuel's sons got out of alignment. The family broke down, and the people appealed to government to do what the family should have done. To do what the family should lead in. What's the majority of the fixes that the government is entitled, is involved in today? Entitlements. Entitlements is the big budget issue in our government today. Depending on what numbers you want to look at, and I looked at 2015, numbers were available for 2015, 63% of government expenditure in the United States of America was on entitlements. Areas that the government has stepped into because the family has failed. This is where we're in trouble. The family is failing. And when the family fails, appeals are made to the government to step in and be the family. Verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says. He says to Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Even though Samuel's family was a mess, God says, they haven't rejected you. What they have done is they have rejected me. Well, how so? How did that take place? Well, verse 5 tells us. Verse 5 tells us that they want a king to judge them like all the other nations. We want somebody like everybody else has. We want a king like everybody else. They wanted a king that rejected God like everybody else around them had. Government is not bad until it seeks to overrule God. When government seeks to overrule God, makes decisions against God, acts contrary to God, it becomes a rejection of God like everybody else. Consequences. Rejection brings consequences. Respect brings blessings. Government was created by God. And it was created by God to manage civilization by keeping order, alignment and covering and blessing. All of it is intended that way, to be perfectly aligned. Listen, it's not seven pillars of Islam that is the foundation of this global theocracy. There's one pillar and one plan that God put into place. And it's the family properly aligned. From the beginning, it was the family properly aligned that was put into place as the pillar and the foundation of God's purpose and plan on this earth. Verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. In other words, shoot with them straight. Tell them where this is going to wind up. Be upfront and straightforward about where this is going. Listen to them, let them go, but you'd warn them right up on the front. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. So you want a government that is independent of me, is what the Lord says. You want a government that is independent of me like all these other nations that are out there? Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen when you do that. Let me tell you what that is going to result in. You can vote in a government that leaves me out, and here will be the result of that decision. Here's how you'll know that I'm out. Look at verse 11. Read a good chunk of scripture here, just get a hold of it. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint over him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your manservants and your maidservants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You reject the Lord, he will not hear you. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us." Forget you, we want the king. You want a king and a government like everybody else? You got it. And here's how you'll know that I'm not in that government. The government will take and take and take and take and take. It will take and take, and you will become servants of that government. That government will tax you like you should be giving to me. Notice the tenth. The government will want to replace me. It will take what I've asked you to give to me. That tithe is from the beginning, by the way. It's not yours to give to anyone. It belongs unto the Lord. You're not to give that to the government. It's the Lord's. Belongs to him. But because government is replacing God, it will require of its people that God, what God requires of his people. That's government playing God. So the proof that government has gone too far is when government begins to take and take and take. When government expands to do what families ought to be doing, it needs money. For government to get bigger, it needs more money. The truth is, the government isn't supposed to be doing everything that it's doing. When families are aligned under the provider, they won't have to ask the government to do so. But because we want the government to be God, it has to take and take and take and take and take to make more provision. And when this plays out to the point that you got nothing and you're hurting, he says, "Don't look to me to bail you out. You've chosen your God. And I told you up front how it was going to play out." He condemns the folks back here not because they wanted a king, but because they wanted a king like everybody else had. Pledge of Allegiance. We go down to the middle of that thing and it says one nation under God. Just because we chant it, don't make it so. Just because we put it out there in a very hopeful way does not make it so. What makes it so is when family after family after family is aligned properly under the headship of God. That's how it comes to be. That's how it comes to pass. Properly aligned families. Go to Ezekiel, if you will. Let me add a little more to the story. Ezekiel 43, verse 7 and 8. And he said unto me, "Son of man," this is God talking to Ezekiel here. Ezekiel, the son of man. "Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where my glory is manifest, where my presence is manifest, the place, the throne." Who sits on a throne? Well, that would be a king. And this king says, the place of my throne, the place where I manifest my glory, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, in my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. Neither they nor the kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. In their setting of their threshold, by my thresholds. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. First off, he said, "Here, this is my throne room. I'm the king that is on the throne. The soles of my feet are in this place. My manifold, manifest glory is in this place. This is representative of my presence right here. And what has happened is that by the threshold of my throne, you have set up kings on their throne and put those thrones equal with mine." Their posts by my posts, the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abomination that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. This is my house, he says. This is my throne. There ain't nobody like me. There ain't nobody like me. And what you've done is you have brought your kings and set them side by side with my throne. You're acting like me and your government are equals. And we are not equal. This is where he's going here. He's making the point that these governments and the king, the throne of God are not equal in any way. What's happening today is that government rule is being brought into God's house. Government rule is being brought into God's house as though it is the issue, it is the thing we should be following. It is not. They are separate issues. One, though, is the underpinning of the other. Sociology is come into the house of God as though God approves what the nation thinks and believes about things. It ain't so. It ain't so. The church is not over the government, and the government is not over the church. We are to give the government a moral compass. We are the moral compass of the nation. And if we're not properly aligned and functioning the way that we should, the compass is off. Without God, there's no knowledge of right and wrong. There's no knowledge of right and wrong without God. If there is no God, there's no standard. And without a standard, anything goes. There's a law in God's house. That's what these statutes, ordinances, and all of these things are for. It's for the civil part of all of this. To become civilized as people. God has no place in society today because he's not even taken seriously in his own house. People aren't in alignment in his own house. Let alone the world that's around us. Verse 9, now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed in their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they've done, show them the form of the house. Hold up the things of God, he's saying. Hold up the things of me. That the world may see that there's an error. And when they see that there's error, and they determine to bow themselves and turn in the right direction, I'll be here. And the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. This is in relation to civil. The church and civil government. And how this is supposed to play out. We have got a bad deal going on. Inequality going on, and it's in the wrong direction. The key to all of this is not who the king is in a constitutional republic. We live and operate in a constitutional republic. That means that we have a constitution that governs everything and that we elect people to come in within the confines of that constitution to move us forward. Constitutional republic. The key to this is not who the king is in the constitutional republic. The key is the constitution. The constitution that man must operate within. It's one of the reasons we need a constitutional amendment to define what marriage is. Else it's going to move everywhere under the sun with whoever happens to be in control. It's a constitutional issue. These are constitutional issues I'm talking about. You have constitutional ties in a proper alignment within the framework of God. You are to align yourself, your family. Operate under that constitutional alignment. Families are the key to a great nation. Families operating in alignment, under cover, under headship, having a biblical worldview, and actively engaged in reproducing it as we've been given the authority by God to do so. We got moms and dads checking out, not aligning, not disciplining, not discipling properly. Putting their family below them in alignment, not being in alignment themselves. Is it any wonder that we're in such a mess? We've moved out from under the Constitution of God. Now, we're not going to fix everybody and everything in this country today. So we need to give up, huh? We can't fix it all. We can't fix everybody. But we can fix some. And the way that some can get fixed here this morning is to get in proper alignment. Get lined up right. You get lined up right, and you can fulfill the purpose and plan of God. The first step in aligning properly is if you wake up here this morning and realize that you are lost as Job's turkey, is to get saved. That'll put you in alignment. That'll give you a place from which you can properly align your family. I don't care where you are in the family, mom, dad, youngin', you get lined up with Christ and it'll put you on a footer towards having a properly aligned family. If you're not saved, get saved this morning. Well, I don't want to get embarrassed and all this. I'd rather you be embarrassed than go to hell. Get properly aligned and see what your life is like. Get aligned under the plan of God and see what God's blessing is all about for a change. Amen? See what His blessing's all about. Because what you're living under now, it ain't it. It's different than where you're living now. So if you're lost, get saved. If you're saved, but you're not properly aligned, why not? You're living by sociology rather than theology again? What you think, what you believe, and what you want, and what you do, and listening to all this stuff that's going into your ear, rather than working by the Constitution that God has laid out for you. What's His Constitution? It's His Holy Word, my friend. His Holy Word. You got to get lined up. We got some daddies that need to get lined up today. Daddies that get lined up so that wives can get lined up and so that kids can get lined up and so that God's plans and purposes can be propagated throughout this throughout this world. Amen. We all have a responsibility and we all have a place. Get saved if you're not. Get lined up if you are. Get lined up. Today would be a good day to talk to the Lord about what it's going to take to get you where you need to be. This would be a great start. We can't change them all. We can't change the nation in a fell swoop. But we can change the part that includes us by making a decision, stepping out, becoming what God wants us to become today. Amen? It's one of the reasons you men, if you haven't got one of them little skinny cards that talk about getting up here on a Saturday here before too long, that's why I need you here. We're going to work on you men while I work on me. And while the Lord works on all of us, we're going to see if we can't get some things in alignment around here. And friend, you can't afford not to be a part of where we're going. You can't afford to not be a part of the plan and purpose and program that God has put in place for you here at Salem Sayers. If you're missing, I'm going to send the Holy Hound of Heaven out after you. You hear me? I'm going to send the Holy Hound out after you, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to sick him on you. And I'm going to keep sicking him on you until you bow, till you submit, till you allow him to do a work in your life. Men, leadership starts right there. Ladies, there will be another track for you. Another track for you during this year. There will be a dual track. You watch your information and things that are coming down the pike here. I'm going old school in a month or two. Going old school with a little study that I want to do church-wide. Ever hear of a little old thing called experiencing God? Friend, we're going to circle back and we're going to pick up some of that, and we're going to teach families how to move forward. We're going to work that through us in here. We're going to get lined up one way or the other. We're going to see what God can do with a church that gets aligned. We're going to see what God can do with a people that has a desire to be lined up. I want to see my country changed. I can't change the whole thing, but boy, we can have a part in seeing what our community does. We can have a big part in that, being faithful right where God's placed us right here. And so, one thing upon another thing, upon another thing, upon another thing, and we're going to build some alignment here, amen? You got to be a part of it. Are you on the fringe? Are you on the outside? Are you teetering on the fence? That's how you get your pants ripped. Get on in. Get on in, and let's get moving together with all speed and unity. Not saved, get saved. If you are saved, not lined up, boy, you and the Lord have some talking to do. Amen? And this is the time to do it. Every time the Word of God is put out, it requires a response. I don't care who you are here this morning. The Holy Spirit, if you've been paying attention on purpose today, the Holy Spirit has put His finger on something in your life. Something in your life that He wants to alter, remove, or encourage. Now's the time to respond to what He's laid on that heart. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You have given us to gather together as the Church of the Living God. We thank You, Lord, for the power that is in Your Word. Lord, all we have to do is put it out there and turn it loose. Lord, I know that it will not return void. I'm going to ask You, Father God, this morning that if You wouldn't mind, that if You'd just put a boot in somebody's behind and, Lord, get them moving towards an altar of repentance. Lord, kick them out there and let them humble themselves before You. Let this be the starting day, a brand new day, a new beginning for some folks today. God, bring people to their knees to You. I ask You, Father, for those that do know You, who have neglected some things in their spiritual journey, God, that this would be a day where some things get picked up and, Lord, hashed out between You and them. Lord, we now step back in an attempt to get out of Your way, to allow You to have Your way and Your will among this people today. Lord, they're yours. You're here. Take over, for I pray it in Jesus' name and amen.